Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the bigger picture, the breath of fresh air that we get from the news every so often with Michael Rakia of josephspeaks.com. If you're not familiar with Michael's work, please get over to his website. I highly recommend every single one of his books. Today we'll be talking about his latest book, From Here to Infinity. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. Very nice to be with you again.
Good to have you back. Like I said, it feels like it's been a year since you've been on the show. That's how much craziness is going on. Got any late information from Joseph on this world and where it seems to be going?
No. If I was to let Joseph come through me again, there would be another book. Oh. I don't think I've got the energy yet. I'm still building it on energy. To work towards, the next installment.
Right.
What is interesting and what is encouraging is that we're finding that a lot of people from 50 onwards age group are investing in your life after death. And then having read that book, having not read any spiritual books previously, are coming back for the other books. So the mission is getting out there. Which is quite satisfying. I wish that we could reach younger people, but younger people seem to have their noses in tablets and devices and technology, and the last thing they want to think about is life after death,
well,
or even the meaning of life on this planet.
Right. Well, not all young people. I've come across some excellent ones, and I will tell you, I'm not surprised, because most of the time when I'm talking to someone new, I will always recommend Your Life After Death as the first book they read.
Yes.
Because it's such an eye-opener, and it's so crystal clear. And I would say once they read that, of course they're going to want to read all the rest of your books.
That's what we're finding.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, it's still my favorite. But I was rereading some of From Here to Infinity last night, and it made me feel better. So I said, maybe I should just keep your books by my bed so I can travel on through the dream space. Excuse me. What's interesting is you talk about the dream space as being free of the effects of the fall. And I try to explain that to people and say, when your body is asleep, you're not really aware of your body at all. And wherever you are is probably really happening. You're kind of free without the attachment to your body.
Yes, I think we try and make sense of it with the physical mind, even in sleep state, don't we? But I think there are periods during sleep when there are clearer dreams, more high definition material comes through, and those are the ones that we need to take notice of. And also, of course, the ones that seem like crazy dreams, if we meditate on them, we can find meaning in them and direction in them. And of course, at night, we're free to, as you say, escape from this planet and consult with our guides and spiritual advisors and see just what state we're in and to what point we've evolved and what to do next and get information that will help us on this journey. So yes, a very important time, and of course a time of restoration, because having been free from the physical body, we can regenerate ourselves, we can heal ourselves, ready for the task ahead. So yeah, dream state, very interesting and very important. And of course, that dream state in a lighter form can come to us in meditation. We're doing the same thing. We are learning to divorce ourselves from this consciousness for a while, this reality in inverted commas, so that we can see what's really going on. And in that altered state, images come to us, messages come to us, information comes to us as to how to continue and to how to relate to others and to help others.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting because my dreams the past week, it seems that I'm in another place, sitting at a dais or in front of a group of people and doing the same thing I do here, just teaching. I had one dream one night where I was talking about my environmental work that I did in the late 80s and 90s to a huge crowd of people. So I think when I wake up, I say, oh God, Groundhog Day, I'm back here.
Well, I find myself at times listening to people in the spirit realms as a participant in a huge event, in a huge amphitheater with somebody at a central lectern, lecturing on various aspects of spirituality and creation. And then at other times, as you just said, you find yourself at that lectern yourself, talking to people and advising people. So this teacher and pupil thing goes on through many dimensions, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I said, wow, I don't get a break. I'm working even when I'm sleeping.
No, there's no rest.
The only difference I find is I'm much more respected and revered, if those are the right words. So I almost feel as though I'm more appreciated for having volunteered to come down here and do what is so difficult to get through here on this planet at this time. But yet, when I'm on the other side in different places, it's all so very welcomed. So I've always felt that my work here is really as a recorder, because I take this information to other places, almost as a warning to other races not to repeat what goes on here.
And I think it's what we do here is only a fraction, as you said, of what we do. We're working on all levels at the same time. We just happen during the waking hours to only be conscious of a percentage of what we're actually doing. And this applies to everyone, of course, doesn't it? In that what they perceive of as their total personality is only part of that personality. And other aspects of what they truly are occurring at the same time. It's just that we're more aware of it, obviously, when we pass to the spirit side of life. But we do, each of us, multitask. The trick is to multitask in the right way, to concentrate on bringing light and inspiration to this world, and to build that into our personality and into our days, so that even when we're not consciously doing it as a personality, an earthly personality, we are doing it, continuing to doing it, to do it, and continue to be a channel as the spiritual being that we really are.
Exactly. So it really does matter what we do here, because I recall reading that when we raise our personal vibration, it actually raises the Earth's vibration too.
Raises the Earth's vibration, and sometimes by a small degree, sometimes by a greater degree, raises the vibration of everyone else on this planet. Because we are, if you like, rarefying the atmosphere. We're making the atmosphere lighter and more spiritual by bringing God light into it. And therefore, we are creating an environment within which people can remember their spiritual heritage. We are chasing away the blues. We're chasing away the darkness. And if you chase away the darkness, all that's left is light. And then people can see in that light how they should act, towards each other, how they should act towards themselves, and can investigate who they are and reinvest in that spiritual heritage that seems to be so difficult to reach in today's societal climate.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's interesting because I just had a young student, he's 16 years old, and he's gotten his first and second level of Reiki with me. And I told him that once you turn on the light, you're going to attract darkness, because darkness always seems to find the light. But it's how you handle it when the attacks come, and they usually will happen through people you know, people you trust, who all of a sudden turn on you because you've changed your vibration so you can see clearly. And then, you know, within a week or two, he had called me and told me that that was exactly what was happening. He told me how he was handling it. He asked me for advice. And that's just the natural way of being, is when you are a light worker and you are giving out light, of course you're going to attract darkness, because darkness doesn't want the light to be turned on. Do you agree?
Absolutely. It's not in the interest of the field of human consciousness to become enlightened. Joseph describes the field of human consciousness as a spoiled child, or a frightened child is a better expression. And that frightened child doesn't want change, has been set to negative, and doesn't want to be positive. But we've got to guide that child. We've got to change that negative attitude to a positive one. And then the atmosphere throughout this planet will change. And our attitude towards things will change. Our attitude towards materialism will change. Our attitude towards violence will change. Our attitude towards power seeking will change. And we can, in fact, create that paradise that we all talk about as though it's a fairy story. It isn't a fairy story. It is something that we can create and restore to this planet. But we have to work for the light. But as you say, we are sticking our heads above the parapet.
Right.
And if you stick your head above the parapet, somebody's going to throw something at it.
Exactly.
As you also say, it's the way that we deal with it that also helps us to evolve. To not be aggressive in return, to see it as something that is sticks and stones and really can't hurt us.
Exactly.
Unless we invest in it, unless we believe in it, mm-hmm. unless we give it power.
Now, you know, there's a lot of people out there that wonder why, you know, why other people can't see the truth or don't want to handle the truth. And then they think that they can force that information on other people. Can we force the light on other people?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Everyone has free will. What we can do is make sure that the atmosphere around people is nurturing enough through having enough light in it to give people the opportunity to turn away from their darker aspects if they so wish. At the moment, there isn't any choice for a lot of people because they are so enveloped in the negativity of the earth that there isn't another side of the coin to consider. What we are trying to do is provide enough light so that they can see themselves more clearly, examine how they act for themselves, and then one day the light actually goes on within them, as though you are fueling a pilot light that suddenly bursts into flame, and they say, maybe I shouldn't be acting in this way.
Right.
Maybe I should change.
And for some people,
in a more spiritual way.
Right. For some people, that could take a long time or not at all. And you have to be okay with that. But every now and then
you get
a surprise. You know what I mean?
Yep. You have. But Joseph says that we are all linked. And I believe that totally. Every high spiritual teacher that's ever come to us has said the same thing. We're all part of the same thing. We're all, in effect, part of one organism. And he says that no matter how many spirits escape from this world and go through the cleansing spheres that lead to infinity, there are always spirits who will come back for those that are left, no matter how long it takes, because their heart breaks at the prospect of brothers and sisters being still enveloped in the darkness. Mm-hmm. No matter what they've done, no matter how they think, there is always that hand reaching down into the darkness to say, just take this. Just let me take you out of here. Just let me pull you out of here. Mm-hmm. And because we're one organism, that whole organism eventually has to reset itself, has to get back to that point before the fall, that point at which we made a mistake in judgment with regard to creation, and has to come out of the darkness, every last spirit. And they will not rest until every last spirit is out and back into infinity and back into angelic creation and a state of bliss.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, David Icke has his latest book out, Phantom Self, and he refers to our being here as a phantom going through programs. But he also says that we're pretty much on a planet that is under a death cult right now. It just seems like there's fear everywhere, death everywhere, violence everywhere. And breaking through that takes a lot. And he also agrees that, you know, the majority of people are so shut down and so trapped in the program that they can't get out, no matter how many times you talk to them. So I just try to tell people when they get discouraged, listen, you can't save anyone. It's an individual choice. But it is, you know, for some people, it's very frustrating. I mean, for me personally, I have to tell you, it took 42 years. 42. Okay. Count them. 42 years for my daughter to have a sudden awakening and an appreciation for who I am and what I do. And she became like a born again. She just wanted to blast everything to everybody she met. And I said, you have to... It's how you talk to people to whether or not they're going to hear what you have to say.
Yes, yes. And there are some people that instinctively you know that you can't talk to. Mm-hmm. They will shut down or they will attack you. But we can sit in the quiet. We can send out light to the dark corners of the world without people knowing that we do it. It's change by stealth, if you like. It's change... By sending out goodness, by sending out light in our quiet times, and not demanding that that light go to specific areas, but knowing that it will be used wherever it needs to be used the most.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I was rereading some of your book yesterday, I thought about John Lennon. And I know that's probably, you're probably saying, why would you think of John Lennon when you're reading my book? But John Lennon, you know, he got so much crap when he said that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. And yeah. David Icke got in the same ball of wax when he said that he was God. And everybody thought they both of them were heretics. But yet, reading your book, you make it very clear that we are God. Okay, and I thought, yeah. I said, well, I guess we'll throw Michael in that pile. You call us individualized aspects of God, which I think is an excellent way to explain it.
We are each a facet of God. God seeks to examine his creation and so sends out himself into millions, billions of conscious points to reflect back to him what his creation is about, but also to examine different prospects of creation, different potentials. And so each of us, as we are originally angelic beings and within this horrid crust of physicality that we have around us, are still angelic beings, each of us is capable of creating worlds. The sad thing is we are creating the world at the moment. We're just used to creating it in a negative form, in a violent form, in a power-seeking form, in a form of lack. We've bought into that, and we buy into that time and time and time again. It is just as easy from a God point of view, from the point of view of the God within, to create a better world. But we have to believe in that. We have to understand that we don't just sit in isolation. We don't just imagine the light. We channel the light. And that light does make a difference. But yes, I would totally agree. I'm talking to God at the moment. You're talking to God at the moment. I'm talking to God in the listeners to this program. We are each points of God across the world. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, everything except for our, well, including our own thoughts, individualized, but I was going to say accepting our own thoughts on a God level, everything is God.
Right.
You know? I'm in a room here and I'm putting my hand on a couch, and that couch, the molecules of that couch, are creative angelic molecules that are also part of God. So the natural conclusion going on from each of us as human beings being God is that everything is not only God, but everything is alive. There is no death. Everything is alive because everything is part of creative thought.
Right.
And if you accept that everything is alive, then you have to build a reverence for all things, a respect for all things. An acknowledgement that all things on a God level are part of you and you are part of them. And that changes consciousness completely. Because how can I harm you if you are part of me? I'm part of God. How can I seek within myself secretly to plot against and harm anyone? Because I'm plotting against myself. I'm harming myself. If we all examined the prospect that we are each God, each part of God, went into meditation for however long it took, and realized that it is a reality, it is a truth, war would end tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think Gandhi had explained it very easily, too. He said that God is the ocean and we are each a wave.
Yes. That's a lovely way of putting it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the waves seem to be crashing on the shores these days, but we're still waves.
Yes. Yes. We are a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And even that doesn't really explain us. You can move back from what we are. You can say, well, we're a physical being, but we're not really physical. We are a wave of vibration, but we're not really that wave of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us back to being nothing. Now, by that I mean no thing. We are no physical thing. We are no material thing. We are an aspect of God that presses against this level of vibration in order to make our influence felt and in order to create and intermingle with each other. So we can take it back and back and back. And that is another revelation, because when you realize that, you realize that all the things that we feel are so important aren't important at all. You know, all the material things, yes, we can use them, but to invest our lives into them mm-hmm. and to make them, in effect, the God that we should be seeking within is such a mistake.
Right.
Enjoy them. Create them. Mm-hmm. Take them away. But don't invest in them and expect them to be there when you move on.
Exactly.
They are not what we're about. They are simply tools.
Right. Well, you know, I post a tip of the day on one of my social media pages, where I'll put something up and with a little tip for people to understand. You just reminded me, you and I are always so in sync, it's kind of freaky. But you just reminded me, the one I put up today was basically about letting go of expectations and enjoying peace.
Yes.
And I think when you have expectations, you always are too attached to the outcome, and that leaves you wide open for disappointment.
Yes, absolutely.
Instead of just, you know, living life. And that's, you know, that's another interesting thing after what you just said. When I see myself in my dream space, I see myself the same, okay? And I know that we don't look the same on the other side, but I always am me. Is that message basically saying that who you basically are doesn't change even when you're in spirit form?
The spirit form that we take is very much up to us. And we can, for example, select initially the age that we want to appear at, the form that we want to take based on the past lives that we've had. I think what happens in dream state is that we are used to currently being in this particular form, mm-hmm. you know, our current physical form, and so we naturally recognize ourselves as that current physical form. But yes, you're right, there's also this feeling of I am absolutely me. But how that absolutely me manifests itself in the spirit realms can differ greatly. Joseph talks about balls of light, people appearing as balls of light as they progress mm-hmm. through the cleansing spheres that lead to infinity. And I've seen people that look like balls of light. I've seen people that look like illuminated outlines. I've seen people who look like shimmering water that you cannot latch onto because they are too far ahead of you in vibration. And also he talks about a state where if you don't want to appear as anything other than a consciousness, you don't appear.
Mm-hmm.
But those states are flexible according to what you want to do. If you want to appear as Maria at some stage, you do that. If you want to appear as a ball of light, that is what you do, until such time as you don't want to do that. We have infinite possibilities ahead of us. But at core, we are the sum of our experiences since we became individualized, and that's the wrong word, since we became an individual expression of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the next time I visualize myself in the dream spade, I'm just going to make myself a little taller. I wouldn't mind being a little taller. But I do know that sometimes...
I'll draw my hair
black,
Maria.
Oh, okay. And I'll curl it for you. I'll give you a perm. But I do find myself sometimes as the dreamer within the dream, where I just feel like I'm that consciousness observing what's going on from a distance. Here we have a, you know, here on this planet, you talk about it in the book, of course, it really depends on your perspective. You say that a lot of people have the perspective of a snail. I usually say ants. I always use ants as an example, where a snail only really sees, you know, slowly what's unfolding in front of him with his nose to the ground. And part of my teaching on the medicine wheel and learning Native American spirituality was to raise your vibration to where you're the hawk flying over the entire picture and seeing the bigger picture, if you will. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to get away from being that snail?
We are indoctrinated from the moment we're born, aren't we? We're born via violence. We have a smack on the bottom, and that's our first experience of this level. And then we are indoctrinated to take our place in society. And much of what we consider to be education is not education at all. It is education so that we don't make a fuss, so that we don't question, so that we accept totally that the physical world that we can see with our physical sense, with our physical senses, is all that there is. And, you know, you're taking a child and you are drilling and drilling and drilling this information and this worldview into them. And it becomes very, very difficult for the adult that child becomes to accept that there is anything else than the society that it's been indoctrinated into. And this is where the quiet time, the meditative time, is extremely important, because it allows our inner senses, it allows our historic angelic senses to manifest and to begin to chip away from within at what we believe to be true. It's very difficult to chip away from without. It's very difficult for someone to change by being coerced by someone into a spiritual way of thinking. It has to come from within. If it comes from within, you don't doubt it because you know it. Right. But in order for it to come with it, from within, that light has to be given a chance to shine and to expand within us at the core, at our souls, at spiritual level. And so we need quiet. We need peace. And as the world gets faster and faster, those opportunities for quiet and peace are less and less, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So it's a great pity that as we bring up our children, we don't instill them with a sense of peace. We don't encourage them to have some peace in their day. Not that they shouldn't play and be children, of course they should. But they should also have that quiet time to get to know themselves. Right. Not what someone else says they are, but what they say they are from within.
Right. Well, you know, many years ago when I was a kid, I remember in school, as part of your day, say, especially in elementary school and kindergarten, the teacher actually did have, and they used to schedule in, quiet time in the classroom, where children could lay down on mats or they can just color in a book. And I'm sure that no longer exists in public schools. But it was important, you know, and even though I had so many sisters and, you know, I lived in a huge family, I always managed to get very quiet inside myself, which bothered my sisters, especially because they would want to play or do this and that. And my answer was always no. And I would just go isolate myself. But for me, you know, especially my story, after I was 4 years old and, you know, I died and came back, I was able to see. As a hawk, I was able to see, and I could not understand why no one else could see it. You know, when I look at this new generation of young people, they see very clearly. They see all the problems in the world that at their age, I didn't even know existed, didn't even want to know. And they seem that they've come in to make change. They just seem Absolutely. To me like a generation of warriors that have just landed on this planet, and the way they're making change is extremely peaceful.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would say they must be real high beings to volunteer to come down now.
Yeah. We have to have the good sense to listen to our young people, to listen to those who are gifted, and not to mask the abilities that they have. For goodness sake, mothers and fathers, don't say, it's your imagination, please. Don't say, you're a little unusual, you've got to fit in.
Well, you're crazy.
Nurture those special qualities that your children have. Give them the time to be quiet. And seek out help for them, spiritual help for them, if you feel that they need a teacher to bring their gifts on. Because, as you quite rightly say, Maria, those are the people with the best chance of changing this world before it's too late.
Absolutely. Michael, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to continue this discussion, and we're going to ask, are you really having a life? So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience, and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Rechia. We're talking about his latest book, From Here to Infinity, his website, josephspeaks.com. Check out his books, check out his work. If you resonate to us and what we're talking about, you're in the right place. And it's interesting because some people tell me that they resonate just to our voices. So what do you think about sound as an attraction to light, Michael?
I think it's a very valid point. I think also thought can be a resonating force. Joseph often says that when people read the books, it's the message beneath the words that reaches them, and that he will connect with anyone who reads the books. And I firmly believe that, because you have the surface message, but there is a deeper message, not hidden beneath the words, but apparent beneath the words, in a vibration. Yes, we do resonate to sound. We resonate to sight. We know instantly, instinctively, spiritually, when we are connecting with a similar vibration, harmonizing with a similar vibration. And that's what we do. We learn a little, and then we harmonize with similar vibrations, and then we learn a little more, and we attract, we not only harmonize with them, but we attract more of the same. Whatever we believe to be true at our core, we attract more of that to ourselves.
Exactly.
So if we believe that we are harmonizing with spiritual truth and spiritual opportunities to evolve, then that's what we attract to ourselves. If we believe that we are working and are changing things in this world, then we attract other people who are working to change, and we connect together. This is how group souls form. This is what we find happens to us when we depart this world. we find that slowly we attract others who are not exactly like us, but very similar to us, and certainly aren't exactly like us in what they hope to achieve. Mm. And little by little, we come together in clusters, and those clusters of spirits then link together to form group souls. That doesn't mean an end to our individuality. Right. It means that we still live our own perspective within those spiritual spheres and within those group souls. But imagine the total annihilation of loneliness, the total annihilation of feeling that we are at odds with people, and being surrounded by hundreds, perhaps millions of souls that we can gain access to and they to us whenever we need to be together to share information, to share perspectives, and to share prospective new aspects of creation that we will move into together. A wonderful, wonderful, blissful existence. Mm-hmm. And that's the existence that waits for us on the other side once we have left behind this roller coaster ride. And I always describe it as that. Right. It's a ghost train ride, I suppose. Once we have turned our back on this earth and said, no, I'm not coming back into this anymore. I'm moving forwards into the cleansing spheres. I'm moving forwards into the spheres that lead back to infinity and lead back to my complete freedom as an angelic being.
Well said. Well, you know, it just reminds me of that expression, like attracts like, or, you know, water seeks its own level. You know, my mother used to tell me when we were kids, it was one of her favorite expressions. She used to say, show me your friends and I'll show you what you are. I don't know if you got to hear that. That was like one of those old Sicilian things that I had to hear like once a week. But as I got older, I understood what she meant. So, you know, for me, you know, I think when I had my awakening, the one thing that's been constant my whole life since I was a little girl is that the knowing that I was here to find my members of my soul group, find them first, educate them second, and then get them ready to go home.
Yeah.
And that's never changed. It hasn't changed for me in 60 years. I still feel the same way. I feel that way about every guest on my show, about every listener to my show, that this is my soul group. These are the people I came here to be with.
And this is the reason that we get up in the morning, isn't it, Maria? Whatever we happen to be doing that wouldn't be considered a spiritual enterprise during the day, we are aware that we have come here with a mission. That sounds very arrogant, but I don't mean it that way. No. We have come here specifically to try and nurture certain souls back into the light, or we wouldn't have come back.
Right, unless we took a dare and we lost.
Yes. Drew the short straw, I think, is the term.
We drew the short one. When I was rereading the book, you talk about life here. And you say that this isn't life. That this is really a repeating pattern.
Yes.
I don't know whether people can really understand that.
Well, I think to explain that, we have to go back to one of the other books, which is The Fall, of course, in which Joseph describes an experiment that we carried out as angelic children, as aspects of God, that locked us into a cycle of physical existence here. Now, that's not the biblical reference to the fall, but we didn't do anything wrong. We simply took a misstep because we felt that we could create in a more refined way as angelic beings, and bring back the results of that faster creation to our God in celebration. So we did the wrong thing for the right reason. And once we had invested in that experiment, we found ourselves trapped in a repeating illusion, in an illusion within which we seek power, we feel that we haven't got enough, we always have lack. We find ourselves in an atmosphere of fear and violence, And we take steps on a physical level to change things, but we can never fully change things by approaching them physically. If we could change war and violence and abominable crimes by simply approaching them in a material and mental way, we would have changed things by now. We've been here for millions of years, but nothing changes. It repeats. And what is lacking in our illusion is the light, the creative ability that we originally had. And so we have to recognize what we originally were and still are, and approach the problem from a spiritual, central, within viewpoint. That's when we begin to change things. If we don't do that, no matter how stable things appear to get for a time, they always degenerate and we always head for cataclysm. And the unfortunate thing, and it's written large across every landscape at the moment, is that we are heading for cataclysm again unless we bring through the God within, unless we recognize our angelic inheritance, and unless we begin to treat each other and this planet with respect.
Well, it kind of reminds me of what Einstein said. You know, you can't fix a problem with the same tools that created it. You know, I'm looking indeed at the world right now, and, you know, you have people in uproar. Okay, people are out protesting. They're milling about in the streets. You know, they're getting their leaders to resign. But this is an old story for the human race. It's like you get rid of one slave master and another one comes into its place.
Yes.
So you're saying the only way to change it is through your spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, I just say, lead by example. Live your life by example. That's how people change. Yeah. I mean, it may take 42 years sometimes, but, you know, every now and then life has a wonderful surprise for you.
Yeah. And live the life that you want to see manifest around the world. Be that difference. Live that life. Build it into yourself so that in the little niggles of life on a daily basis, you stop being angry. For a start, that's a major thing. Mm-hmm. You stop condemning others, you stop judging others, and you live a spiritual life. You then become that light that you are transmitting. And as we said earlier in the show, you then attract others who are also becoming that light. And rather than being one little pinpoint of light, you suddenly find that you are part of a huge flame of light that can then ignite the planet in a different way, in a spiritual way, and change things. But there is an urgency to what we're talking about, Maria, isn't there? We are running out of time unless we change. We cannot blindly go on and think that everything's okay. We won't run out of resources. We won't find ourselves without the niceties of society. There won't be cataclysm. We can take whatever we want from the earth, and there are no consequences. Time is running out. And so I would appeal to the listeners of the show to please do their bit each day, even if it's only for a few minutes, to sit, to transmit the light, and to also do it for yourselves, to discover more about yourselves. You owe it to yourselves. Forget the world. You know how the world works. You know how society works. Discover how God works. Discover how you work. Discover what you really are and what you are truly capable of. And that's the most exciting journey, wonderful journey, you can ever go on. That's the greatest holiday you can ever spend anywhere.
Absolutely.
And you can do it every day. But it needs to be done now.
I agree. And you know, to me, you know, I often talk about this with a lot of my friends. If I had to live a flat three-dimensional life like most people on this planet, I wouldn't want to be here. So yes, it's living this work, living what you came here to do, that makes you excited about being here, because otherwise every day is truly Groundhog Day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to realize that connection with God, and to take away that fear of what comes next, Because what comes next, if you've raised your vibration and are prepared for an ongoing journey, it is wonderful. It is a return home. It is nothing to fear. In the Western world, we don't mention death. Death is a dirty word. We should be examining the prospects that are ahead of us. We should be looking at spiritual material, seeing if it resonates with us. We should be sitting in silence and connecting to that greater consciousness that we have, and removing our own fears. And in removing our fear of death, we have a brighter perspective on life and a new energy with which to approach life. And with which to say, well, I've got, I don't know how long I've got left, but during that time, I'm going to jolly well make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we really, you know, because so many people seem to be dying. It's like an epidemic this year. And
yes,
I think they're choosing to get off the planet before it gets any worse. That's my opinion. But do we ever really lose anyone? You know, because I know, you know, I just lost a co-host who was a dear friend for 17 years. And
yes,
I mean, everybody was so distraught about it. But, you know, I always remember what my mother used to say when somebody died. She would say, their suffering is gone. And we're left here to keep suffering. That was her opinion of life on Earth, is there is no hell. This is it. And I used to think my mother was very negative. But as I get older, I start to understand her more. And I say, wow, she was really right. So are these people lost or are they actually found?
No one is ever lost, because every spirit continues to exist. You can't die for the life in you. If there is a love link between yourself and someone who has passed over, you are still connected to that person. If the person chooses not to connect with you, then that is their right on the spirit side of life, on the spiritual side of life. But if that love link is truly there between the two of you, it is always there. It is an eternal thing. It is an infinite thing. It is the essence of God. We visit the people that we feel that we have lost when we're asleep, back to the sleep state thing. Unfortunately, when we re-enter this area of dense physical matter, our memories of having been there at night are very often masked. Or totally masked, so that we've no memory of being anywhere other than in our beds asleep. But believe me, it takes place, as you well know, Maria.
Oh, absolutely.
We connect to those people at night. We can talk to them again. We can examine the situations that are happening in our lives with them at night. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they connect with us again when it's our turn to go through that doorway that's mistakenly marked death.
Mm-hmm.
No, we never lose anyone. We never lose any positive situation, any love link situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a great comfort, too, to know that, you know, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, sisters, brothers are there, and we are still able to connect with them, and will see them again. Without doubt, 100% guaranteed.
Right. Well, I'll tell you a quick little story. My co-host that died, Dave McGowan, as long as we've known each other, I never pay attention to people's birthdays or anything like that. I just can't remember that stuff. And one night I was watching TV, and for whatever reason, I decided to switch over to YouTube. And on YouTube popped up an interview with Dave McGowan. And I started watching it, and I was hearing his voice and hearing him laugh. And I was like, why am I sitting here at midnight listening to Dave, right? And the next morning when I got up, I noticed the first thing his brother posted on social media was that day would have been his birthday.
Yeah.
So to me, it was really Dave dropping in to remind me, even though I would never have known it was his birthday the next day. So I saw the synchronicity in it.
Yes.
And when I let his brother know, his brother really took, you know, he really took, you know, he took it very well. He was happy to hear it. So
yeah,
sometimes,
people try and get through to us.
Right, they don't just always get through to you on the telephone or in your dreams. Sometimes it could be on TV or YouTube or in an instant message. You just never know.
The illusion can be manipulated from without. And God talks to us in mysterious ways, sometimes through the television, you know, sometimes through the person that we're stood next to in a queue. And similarly, those people that we feel we have lost will get through to us with something that is unique and typical to them in any way they can. We just have to, we have to understand that this illusion is flexible from without and from within when we've developed our spiritual senses to a certain degree. So we have to be, again, it's a matter of being calm and quiet and listening to what God says to us and listening to what our loved ones say to us by getting through it, by whatever means they can, and they will and they do.
Now, you talk about in the book the expression, God is. And I know we don't have too much time. We have about 3 minutes. Can you explain that?
Yes, God says that that is, Joseph explains that as one of the most powerful statements that we can introduce into any situation that we wish to change in our personal lives. Or even in the greater life as part of society, to actually, instead of looking at the negative, instead of looking at the violence, instead of looking at the depression, instead of looking at the harm and the hurt, simply manifesting God is, establishing God power within that situation. And we can do the same thing within our own lives. If we can't find a solution to something, we simply affirm that God is in that situation, let it go so that we're not giving any power to it, and continue to establish that God is within that situation to change that situation for the better. Mm-hmm. And it works. It's a powerful mantra, and it's something that we should use to write our lives in the areas that need writing.
Right. Well, I know a lot of people use the I am as well, which, yes, you know, I've always found very powerful, just as a reminder, you know, of who we are. I am. You know, you don't have to go any further than that. I am.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Any chance you're going to be writing another book?
Well, we have a book that should be available this year. Which is a collection of, I don't want to say lectures, a collection of observations and a great help in life, we hope, from the members of Joseph's group that we've been given over the years. There is no problem with Joseph's message and the message from these particular people, because it's the same message. Joseph is the spokesperson for the greater group. So we hope to have that available later in the year. And also I'm finishing off an audio book of Your Life After Death at the moment. We're in the editing stage.
Oh, that's great.
You'd be surprised how long that takes to actually produce. It surprised me. But we are in the closing stages of the initial recording. And we will also record the questions that were asked by the other members of the Band of Light and have that available, hopefully, by late summer.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I know. That's got to be a whole lot of work. So
it is. We take our holidays at night, Maria. You do.
That's true, but sometimes it's not a holiday. Sometimes I'm still working. I'm like, what? It's a good thing I sleep alone. I'm probably lecturing in my sleep. Michael, thanks so much for joining me today. As always, this is like such a refreshing break for me, and I'm sure for my audience too.
A great, great pleasure, Maria. I look forward to the next show.
Okay, you take good care now. Bye.
You take care too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Michael Rakia, check out his work at josephspeaks.com. I have found really nothing to say is wrong in any of his books. That really is, as I always say, the only ticket out of here is a spiritual one. Thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.